So many of us, as we age, joke about little memory lapses, but true dementia and Alzheimer's disease are no laughing matter. With me is Dr. Donald E. Moss. And many years ago, Dr. Moss discovered what might very well be the best drug in existence for treating Alzheimer's and dementia. So why isn't that drug on the market? That is the subject of his book recently released titled Alzheimer's, My Journey to a Next Generation Treatment. Welcome, Dr. Moss. This is an amazing piece of work.
Oh, thank you very much, Monica.
I don't know how you have the strength to stand up and be here after writing the book and living the reality. Just reading it, I was exhausted on your behalf.
Every step of the way, it was fun.
Thank God.
It was challenging. There were some bad times, but overall, it was fun.
It's a primer in research, the basics of real research, scientific research. In that regard, it was fascinating, but there's also the roller coaster of your personal experience. For those who do not know, you have been a professor and a researcher here at UTEP for how many years you were here?
37 years.
Just 37.
Yes.
And you retired early, actually, in 2010. Is that correct?
Yes, I retired in 2010, and I was on phased retirement, and that's when I began to really work on the book.
Okay. And the reason for your retirement was in part, for the early retirement, in part to pursue what might be the last effort to get this drug into the market.
That's right. I was to teach in the spring semester of 2013 as the last part of my university teaching, but I gave that up so that I can pursue this 100% of the time. This is, in fact, the last opportunity to develop this drug. If we fail now, it may just go into the pages of time and be lost forever.
Well, to give people an idea of the caliber of individual I'm speaking with right now, Dr. Moss, in 1985, he received the Outstanding Psychological Research Award from the El Paso Psychological Association. In 91, he received the Distinguished Achievement Award in Research here at UTEP. And in 96, the Distinguished Achievement Award in Teaching Excellence at UTEP. I believe, if not the only, certainly one of the very few professors to receive both Research and Teaching Excellence Awards at this university. You were appointed by our Texas governor to the Texas Council on Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders. You were chairman of the council in 89 to 92. Basically, you have many, many accolades. So your mind is on a journey that would serve all of us. I mean, this is stunning. Let's go back to the day when you and your brother discovered this drug.
Well, that goes back to 1970, and I just started my PhD work in the psychology department at Colorado State University. And by chance, my brother, who was in the Army and was a career officer in the Army, had been assigned to go back to Colorado State University and study biochemistry. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in how the brain records memory. You know, what is the physical fabric of memory that persists over time so that the brain can maintain the information. And he happened to be working on acetylcholinesterase in Dr. Farney's lab at Colorado State University. And he and I did some experiments on drugs that interrupt memory. And just as a passing thing one afternoon, he pulled out some sulfonyl fluorides out of an old refrigerator in the back of the lab, and he said, here, let me show you one of these things. Let me show you.
You guys sound like
work.
A scary combination.
We are. You shouldn't let two graduate students, let alone two brothers, work in a laboratory together on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, you must be smart because you're alive to tell about it. So.
No, it was just by chance, and that was in 1970. It wasn't until I had done some other experiments on those compounds and found that they had some special properties. And I even then didn't realize the importance of those special properties to treating Alzheimer's. It wasn't until 1981 I was reading an article by Peter Davies, one of the people that identified that the deficit in the brain in Alzheimer's related to memory is the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is absolutely essential for memory, and the brain normally makes it. But in Alzheimer's disease, the brain loses the capacity to make acetylcholine and you become forgetful. And I was reading the article in 1981, and Peter Davies said, you know what we really need is a drug that has these properties, A, B, C, and D. And I was sitting there reading the article, and I thought, I already know a drug that has those properties.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just by chance.
From that point of discovery, what was the next step that kept brightening and exciting you about the potential of this drug?
I knew from my initial experiments that it was going to work, or that it should theoretically work. And then I had to do some follow-up experiments to show that why it had those special characteristics, show that it was really selective for the brain. And mm-hmm. when I figured that out, when I saw those results one afternoon in the laboratory, then I thought that I should report it scientifically and get the news out, the big breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the book, you realize that was a huge mistake. That resulted in me losing the opportunity to get a patent, because I was too naive to know that I had to have the patent application in before I disclosed how the drug worked. And then, of course, to follow up on your question, the next thing that I worked on for several years was to try to get a new compound that I could patent.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say here that if you don't have a patent for a drug, it could be the best drug in the world. You could have the cure for AIDS, and if you don't have a patent for it, a drug company can't make any money on it. And it's hundreds of millions of dollars for them to invest in these things. And if they can't recover that, it's just a matter of economics. They cannot afford to be good people and just develop drugs just
it's
out of kindness.
Stunning, I can't even call it a loophole. It's a black hole that can swallow up something with incredible potential because of this technicality.
Yes, and we need to talk about this some more later in the program. But there is an escape hatch for patent problems like this, and it's called the Orphan Drug Act. And that's going to be the way that we're going to try to develop the drug.
Yes, we're going to be coming back to that. And it relates certainly to your release of this amazing book and your journey. It's been a lifetime, and you're still on it. And you're still married to the same woman. This
is
stunning.
Yes, I am.
I mean, that is in the book, too, the fact that the toll this has taken. It's both enriched and tormented your existence, I think. But so you find yourself doing experiments with initially rats, later on with monkeys. And what did you find related to this drug, MSF, for short,
Yes. That
made it in any way superior to those drugs that were already on the market for Alzheimer's?
Well, the drugs that are already on the market, are on the market right now too, are not selective for the brain. And I need to explain that acetylcholine that I mentioned a moment ago, that is really the fabric of memory in the brain, also works in the peripheral nervous system to pace the heart. It runs the smooth muscle of the intestines, and it runs skeletal muscle that mm-hmm. you need for voluntary movement. So when you take a drug to enhance acetylcholine in the brain, if it enhances acetylcholine outside of the brain, then the first thing it does is it slows your heartbeat, and it will speed up the smooth muscle of your intestines. And those are problems for the patients. They suffer nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. When they take a dose of the drug that begins to improve memory, it begins to produce the side effects.
Yes.
So the real value of my drug is that it separates the effect in the brain from the peripheral nervous system, so that I can adequately dose into the brain and I can enhance memory in the brain. The patients can tolerate an effective dose of my drug. The whole problem with the drugs that are currently available is that the patient simply can't tolerate a high enough dose to have an effect on memory.
Now, the therapeutic value comes with so many side effects.
That's right.
It's intolerable. Without the patent, without the hope of a patent, you ended up going outside the U.S.
And yes, I did.
Where did that take you?
Oh, that took me a lot of places. You're absolutely right. Because of the high regulatory barriers in the United States and the extreme expense in the United States, and having no funding, really, I had some funding from the Coldwell Foundation in El Paso
mm-hmm.
that gave me enough money that I thought I could run a clinical trial in another country. And I need to say that I did the rat and monkey experiments, but I really had to run a human trial, and I'm not a medical doctor, so I had to collaborate with medical doctors. And mm-hmm. my first collaboration was with Dr. Carlos Mangoni in Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I went down to Argentina one summer, the summer of 92, which was the winter down there, and spent 3 months down there trying to get the government to approve a trial. That trip was really sort of a disaster because I was a scientist from a first world country going down to Argentina to try a drug on humans, and they correctly perceived that I might be using them as guinea pigs. That certainly is not the way I felt about it. I wanted to help people, mm-hmm. and I talked to some people down there that wanted to be helped. But a lot of people were desperate, and they were scared, and I didn't come across well there.
Well, this is another amazing section of the book. There's a lot of humor woven in there, especially regarding your efforts to learn Spanish. And my guest today is Dr. Donald E. Moss. He is the author of Alzheimer's, My Journey to a Next Generation Treatment. We're going to be back in just a moment, and we'll be talking about the fact that he took the drug himself so as to get past the guinea pig issue, and what you are doing now to raise funds from the general public toward saving this drug from oblivion. I'll be right back.